Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. We are pleased to announce that Monster Vegan, a new restaurant located at 1229 Spruce Street, has been certified kosher under the Orthodox supervision of IKC. Please support these efforts by informing them that you are a kosher consumer. We are still reeling from the Miron tragedy, which will forever be associated with Lag BaOmer. I think it makes sense to look at the message in our parsha that addresses this topic. As I always emphasize, timing is never coincidental. Our parsha begins with the mitzvah of Shemitah, the sabbatical year. But the Torah seems to go out of its way to say that the mitzvah of Shemitah was given at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. Rashi famously asks, Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai? What does Shemitah have to do with Mount Sinai? Notwithstanding Rashi's cryptic answer, I think there are several connections. For example, the Shemitah has exactly the same numerical structure as the Omer period that is currently approaching its end. Shemitah has a 7-year cycle, totaling 49 years, followed by the Yovel, the Jubilee year, and the 50th year. Similarly, after the Exodus, the Jewish people spent 49 days preparing to receive the Torah on the 50th day, which became the holiday of Shavuot. Another numerical connection may be discerned in the words, Ve'achaltem lachmechem lesova, that when we keep the Shemitah, we become sated, sova, a word with the same letters as Sheva, 7. That could be why the Torah says that God completed creation, Vayi'er vayivoker yom hashishi. It was evening and there was morning the 6th day. It was not just a 6th day at which God created things, but as the Midrash Shir HaShirim teach us, the verse also refers to Hashishi, the 6th day, which refers to the 6th day of the month of Sivan, when we received the Torah on Shavuot. And the very next words are Vayichulu, meaning God completed creation. That sequence tells us that Yom Hashishi, or Shavuot, led to the culmination of creation. In other words, the event on Shavuot, receiving the Torah, was embedded in creation and enabled God to finish his work and transition to the Shabbat, so to speak. We are now at the close of the book of Vayikra, and this message sheds light on what we discussed at the very beginning of the book. The very first Rashi in Sefer Vayikra points out that when God called Bilam, he used the term Vayikar, and that it contrasted with the way he called Moshe, Vayikra, adding a final Aleph. This contrast illustrates the two different ways God connects to human beings. One is characterized by coldness and randomness, which describes his relationship with Bilam, and the other is based on love, caring, and possibilities, which suffused his relationship with Moshe. This is exactly the same distinction that we find in Bechukotai. God says, if you care about me and respond to my blessings with care, that is what you will get from me in return. I will be your God and you will be my special nation. God will treat you the same way he treated Moshe, with chavivut, with love and care. But, v'im telchu imi keri, if you treat me as if your life is mikra, happenstance, without meaning, then I'll treat you the same way, just as I dealt with Bilam. The vital lesson here is that Torah is about much more than imparting information. It is a guide, so to speak, about meaningful relationships and learning how to love within those relationships. The particular information we did get at Har Sinai, the Ten Commandments, was raw and hardly comprehensive. Why these 10? After all, there are numerous other important commandments. These 10 commandments were chiseled on a rock, obviously not as information, but as the Maral and others explain, because they signify the formation of our connection to God, perhaps like an engagement ring. That's why Shavuot is called Hashishi, the 6th day, and leads into the day of relationship with God, the Shabbat. Just as there are two ways to view Har Sinai, there are two ways to look at Shabbat. Either in the words of the Midrash, Ketuna Chavareich Mibeit HaSefer, like kids at school who just want the week to be over, so they can stop working and relax, or as mature adults who appreciate that our weekdays are meaningful and help us prepare for the special connection we can tap into on Shabbat. As we said last week, that could be why we don't count the Omer down, we count up. Every day of each of the 7 weeks, we're moving up during the week, and moving forward in the cycle, and we each have the opportunity to become a person who treasures life, who loves the Shabbat, and who can appreciate the deep lessons imparted to us during the days of the Omer and the years of the Shemitah. It is unquestionable that life is exceedingly difficult, and as we saw last week, sometimes horrifying. We can never ever ignore that. We can accept that hardship and loss are part of life, and at the very least, we can use that awareness to tap into our spirituality. During such difficult times, we can strive to make ourselves better people and contemplate what death and life mean in the merit of those who died. And if we do that, we will not experience life as keri, as random happenstance, but as the meaningful journey of chavivut, love and care, that God intended it to be. Shabbat Shalom.